Well, we'll let our boys and girls be dismissed to junior church at this time. I appreciate those who are taking care of them. We will be all back together in just a little bit. Boys and girls are going to have an Easter egg hunt. It's good. So good to see all of you here this morning. Good to have visitors with us this morning. We hope you're made to feel welcome in the service. I know it's Easter, and a lot of you got big plans for the day. And so we're going to keep it all within a little shortened time frame. We hope to be out a little early this morning. But it's good to see all of you here. We are concluding our series, The Last Words of Christ from the Cross of Calvary. The title of the message this morning is simply, It's a Surprise Party. Our text this morning comes from Mark chapter number 16. Mark chapter number 16, if you'd like to turn there. Has anyone ever surprised you? I mean, maybe you got a birthday gift. Maybe you got a gift at Christmas. Somebody surprised you with something. Ladies, has anybody stopped by your house unannounced at an inopportune time? I mean, kind of surprised you that way? Maybe somebody gave you a birthday party. Surprise birthday party. And I mean, everybody hides, and when you come in, they jump up and go, surprise! And just scare you to death. Some of you scared you right then, didn't it? You know. Some surprises are good, some are not good. I know how that is. Connie and I were surprised. It was Easter, 1976. That's been a day or two ago. We were engaged, going to get married that summer. And we had decided, we were living here in Springfield, decided we'd go down to Texas, to Lubbock, to see my mom and dad at Easter. And we got down there on that weekend, Easter Sunday morning. We all went to church. It was a great time. Went out to Mama's. All the family came out for a big Easter dinner. And we were just having a big time. And we didn't have any kids there that day. It was all adults. And it's kind of odd, but... Somebody sitting around said, you know, when we were kids, we used to have Easter egg hunts. We ought to have an Easter egg hunt. We said, well, that'd be fun, but we ain't got no Easter eggs. Mama said, well, I think I got some in there. And she said, in fact, I think I got some little prize eggs, too. So we thought this would be hilarious. All the adults going to have an Easter egg hunt. And so somebody went outside and hit them. And so we all got lined up out there. They hollered, go. And we all went and started hunting Easter eggs. And we got some candied eggs, got different chocolate eggs, and a bunch of little prize eggs. And all the adults are fighting over the eggs. It's a lot of fun. We got back into the house, and I got to looking. All those little plastic eggs, Connie and I had found every one of them. And I'm thinking, yeah, we showed them old people. You know, we got the prize eggs. So we just sat around talking, and somebody said, well, why don't you open the egg? And I said, is there really a prize in it? I said, well, Connie opened one of yours, and she opened up the first one, and there was like a $20 bill in it. Whoa, that's pretty good. I said, let me open one of mine. I opened one of mine, and it said, go look in the washer. So I went back to the utility room, and I opened the washer, and I looked down in there, and there was a set of towels, probably four sets of towels, brand new towels, clean, folded on. I'm like, what in the world is this? And I went back in there and told Connie, I said, open up another one of your Easter eggs. And she opened up the Easter egg and it said, go look behind the curtains in the living room. And she went in there and looked, and there was a can opener, brand new can opener in a box in there. What had happened? They had planned a wedding shower for Connie and I. And that is how we got all of the wedding gifts that day in the Easter eggs. And my mama was always doing something crazy. That's the reason I am like I am. Fruit don't fall far from the tree. But that was a good surprise. The other surprises sometimes are not so good, okay? I remember that we had just moved back to Missouri. The kids were about fifth grade, seventh grade, I guess. And we were living out in the old King Wilhite place. Some of you know where it is, out north of Walnut Grove there. Way out in the country, it's about a mile and a half from pavement, usually about a half mile from any of your neighbors. Big old tall two-story farmhouse, kind of spooky sometimes at night, I'll be honest. And so one evening, Connie had gone somewhere, it was after dark, and me and the kids are at home. Some of you heard this story, you know. We're at home, and we decide we'll fool Connie when she comes home. So we parked the truck round behind the house. And we wrote a note and put it on the table that we'd gone to town, we'd be back later. And then we went in mine and Connie's bedroom, and we unscrewed the light bulb in the bedroom there. And then I went over to the closet and unscrewed the light bulb in the closet. And then we turned out all the lights in the house, and we waited. We could see her coming down the road. We went and hid in our closet. wasn't long before Connie came in. We in there just... We heard her come in. She came in through the side door there into the kitchen area. She put her stuff on the table. We're listening. She did a couple of things, and then she started walking through the living room, coming down the hall, coming to our bedroom. I still remember Jeffrey snickering. He was an ornery little kid. And so Connie comes in, and she turns the light switch on. Click. Nothing. She seems to think that if she does it two or three times real fast, it'll help. Click, 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 click. Nothing. She says, oh, shoot. She goes back to the other room and turns another light on in the living room, so she gets a little light shining down towards our bedroom. And she goes back in there, and you can hear her as she's coming around the side of the bed and gets to the closet. And just as she gets to the closet, we had those sliding doors, you know, kind of like pocket doors. She slid the door back, and as she did, me and the kids are in the bottom of the closet. She reaches up like this to get that string on the light, and when she did, we went, "Rawr!" and grabbed her legs. Now, that is when Connie did this, "Eek!" Now, some of you were here 2 weeks ago, know how she does that, "Eek!" like that. Now, this time, it was not quite as passionate. It was a little more fear and anxiety when she went, "Eek!" And she fell flat of her back onto the bed there. And we thought, oh, we have succeeded. Mission accomplished. We just about scared the pee out of Mom. It was funny. And I looked at my kids, and for the first time, mark this down, for the first time I looked at my kids and said, oh, snap. We did it. Is that right? Did I get it right? I'm trying, okay? Surprises. Sometimes they're good. Sometimes they're not. Today we're going to read the story when Jesus rose from the dead. And that's literally what Easter is all about. And we're going to see as He arose that it was a surprise to everyone. Now you think it wouldn't surprise you? What if you buried somebody 3 days ago and then you went downtown and saw them sitting there? Okay? It would be a surprise. Now it's a surprise that Jesus has risen, but it's also a surprise who He'll appear to. First of all, the first one He appears to, and then who He sends a message to. To say, go tell them that I have arisen. Now, if you've got your Bible, the book of Mark chapter number 16, if you would please, if you're able, would you stand with us out of respect to the Word of God? And let's just read our text together for a moment. I'll read it. You can follow along. Mark chapter 16, we begin reading in verse number 1. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, here she is, notice Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint Him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, who shall roll away the stone from the door to the sepulchre? When they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were frightened. He said unto them, be not afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. Well, He's not here. Behold the place where they laid Him. But go your way, tell His disciples and Peter. Now notice, and Peter, that He goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see Him as He said unto you. And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast 7 demons. Jesus surprised everyone when He arose. Now He warned them about it, but they didn't get it. They didn't catch it. But the big part, I think, of the surprise is who appears to here. You notice it's Mary Magdalene, okay? What do you think of when I say Mary Magdalene? Prostitute. I don't understand that. Mary Magdalene, according to Luke chapter number 7, also anointed the feet of Jesus and wept and wiped His feet with her hair. Why do we label people and only remember the bad? I think it's amazing who He appears to, Mary Magdalene, but the angel told Him, said, you go tell the disciples and Peter. Why would He say Peter? Peter is the one who denied Jesus 3 times. I think this is important. Jesus loves to focus on those that everybody else thinks is unimportant. I mean, in fact, there's one disciple who followed Jesus was labeled as not being very important. They called him James the Less. And yet Jesus loved these folks that seemed very insignificant. We're going to talk about that this morning. Let's have a word of prayer. Fathers, I come to you in prayer this morning. Ooh, what a morning we've had of worship already. Father, this morning, would we understand that you care about the outcast of society? You care about those who are hurting. You care about those who have stumbled. You care about those who others might think are insignificant. Father, encourage our people this day, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We're here for a moment from a man by the name of James the Lesser.
I'm James, one of the disciples. Not the one you're thinking of. I'm the other one. They called me James the Lesser to distinguish me from him. But over the years, that's what I started calling myself. That's how I started thinking of myself. I was one of the last disciples picked, not exactly top dog. None of that matters. What matters is this: Jesus. He was sealed in a tomb, and 3 days later, life as we knew it changed forever. It was evening. We were all gathered together. And suddenly, he appeared. What I mean is, he wasn't there. There he was, not even a sound. There he was, saying something about peace and calm down, or he was hungry. Asking for food. I don't know. I guess you work up quite an appetite conquering death, defeating sin. It goes without saying that we were scared, we were excited, happy, really happy. We all thought he was gone for good. It was over. But instead, he put death in its place. He did it. And when I look at myself, I see disappointment. I see dismissal. I see the lesser. And I realize I'm pretty forgettable some days. Then I remember he did it. He conquered death. He did it for me and you and you. Because of the cross, because of Christ, I'm reborn. He has set me free from sin. He set me free from myself. And you know, I will never have mind having less of me if it means I can have so much more of him.
Amen. Amen. Wow. James the Lesser received the surprise of his life on that first Easter. Not only James, but all of the disciples. I mean, they were surprised at what takes place now on the weekend after Passover. Now understand this. God decided that the less important ones needed to be the first ones to experience the surprise of the resurrection of Jesus. Now, you need to get that down. If you're taking notes on the back of your bulletin, it might be worth writing down that God decided that the less important people in the world's eyes, God decided they should be the first ones to experience the resurrection of Jesus. God decided He'd surprise them. Have you ever been surprised? We see in Scriptures that Jesus loved to surprise people. On the first Easter Sunday morning, He came back to life. He rose from the dead. He gave the lesser one, James the Less, a surprise that day. He gave another individual that we would consider even less important in the eyes of the world than James the Less. Another individual who had been there at the cross when they crucified Him. They were at the tomb when they buried Him. She was at the tomb when they placed His body inside. He gave her a surprise that would never be forgotten as well. And I'm not talking about James the Less this time. I'm talking about someone that was viewed in the eyes of the public, someone who would be less than this James the Less, the disciple that just spoke for us. See, Jesus will give a woman by the name of Mary Magdalene the surprise of her life that morning. Think about this surprise from a cultural standpoint. God will reveal the news of the resurrection, first of all, to a group of women. And women in the first century, if you understand cultural things then, they were really not very important. They were considered substandard individuals. They couldn't even testify in a court of law. It was a male-dominated world. And yet God chose some ladies, the most insignificant people that existed in society at that time. He chose to give them this massive surprise. And He wants to show them how He values women in an extraordinary way. Now, John chapter number 20 will record another surprise when God will announce the resurrection of His Son. He chose some women, and this particular woman, to reveal this marvelous truth, to Mary Magdalene. John chapter 20, I'll just read the verse for you. In verse number 1, it said, "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, to the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved." And scholars think that John is referring to himself. She runs to Peter and John, and she says unto them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have taken Him." Mary Magdalene was one of the first ones that goes to the tomb. According to Mark chapter number 6, and you've got to put the story in all of the Gospels together, but in Mark chapter number 6, Mary Magdalene will run then, and she will tell Peter and John and the other disciples that Jesus has risen from the dead. And they'll run to the tomb themselves to see about the resurrection. Peter and John run down to the tomb. They want to see for themselves. And like a couple of men, they go in and look and come back out with this dumbfounded look on their head, on their face, scratching their head, saying, "It's empty. I don't know where He's gone." Mary Magdalene, as you read the story and all the Gospels together, she's returned to the garden tomb as well. And she's standing off to the side in the shadows now. And in John chapter 20, verse number 11, it says, "But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre." She looks down into the tomb again. She cannot believe what has happened. John said she was weeping. Pastor Carter said it had been a rough week on him. You ever have those weeks you just want to break down and cry? That was the week Mary Magdalene was having. This is not the first time she's cried this weekend. If you read it through all of the Gospels, you understand that she was standing by the cross and watched them in John chapter number 19 where they crucified Jesus, and she stood there weeping to see Him condemned to death, to see Him crucified. We find in Matthew 27, she sat by and watched them as Joseph of Arimathea and the others took His body down and they laid it in the tomb there. Mary was there. It seems so final. It's not difficult to picture her sitting at the tomb weeping when they put Jesus inside. I'm sure she's wondering, what in the world has happened? It was just a week ago, Sunday, they were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is He that cometh in the name of the Lord." And they were praising Him. They were anointing Him as King. What happened? They crucified Him. He's dead. Her world has been turned upside down. And she's asking herself, what has happened to my life? You ever been there? In a matter of days, everything changes. What's happened to my world? God may be about to surprise us with His best when life feels like it's at its worst. I could quote by C.S. Lewis, and it's worth remembering. God often chooses to move more through the windows of pain in our life than at any other time. God often chooses to move more through the windows of pain in our life than at any other time. You're walking through a season of pain in your life right now. Well, I know it's Easter Sunday and everybody's at church and we're all smiling and we're all dressed up and we're all pretending on the outside everything's just fine and everything's good and we're having a great day and we're celebrating the resurrection and it's going to be fun. And maybe you, like Mary Magdalene, caving and crying on the inside. What has happened? I remind you again that Jesus loves to surprise people in the midst of their deepest valley. John chapter number 11, we talked about it a few weeks ago. Jesus went to a friend of His, Lazarus, who was already in the tomb 3-4 days, and he'd already been dead. And Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." Surprise! Lazarus came back alive. John chapter number 8, there was a woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. We talked about her just a week or two ago. Jesus came along. Surprise! He said, "Woman, thy sins be forgiven thee. No man condemns thee. Go and sin no more." John chapter number 4, there was a woman at the well who had a sinful past. She had a shady present at the best today. Yet she walked into a brand new future in hope when she found out that Jesus was the Messiah. Surprise! Everything changed. Luke chapter number 7, there was a woman, a widow woman, whose son died. She's left all alone. And now Jesus shows up on the scene. Surprise! Her son lives again. Jesus is hanging on the cross in Calvary in Luke chapter number 23. There's another individual that is hanging on the cross next to Him. Jesus looks at him and assures him that as soon as they are finished hanging on the crosses today, are you ready? They're going to hang out together in paradise in just a little bit later. Surprise. Jesus loves to surprise people. Mary Magdalene is weeping in the cemetery, and we see how Jesus surprises her. He calls her name. all of a sudden her frown was turned upside down when the Messiah who loves her calls her by her name. I mean, the man that she had watched die earlier this weekend, somehow he has come. She's come now to finish the burial preparation. She's going to go in and to anoint the body again to preserve it. But she's about to get a massive surprise. Let me read for you again, John chapter number 11, verse number 11, verse down through verse number 16. John chapter 20, verse number 11. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and she seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. When she had thus said, she turned herself back, and she saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be in a gardener, said unto him, Sir, if you have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I'll take him away. She thought he was one of the caretakers in the cemetery. Did you move the body of my Lord? Tell me where he is. I want to go and take care of him. Everything changes. Verse 16, Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. It's another word she's saying, Teacher, is that you? I mean, Jesus flipped the light switch on for Mary. I mean, she's standing there, she's grieving, and when he calls her name, the lights go on, he is alive and well. I think all of the heaven looked down and said, Woo! Surprise! He's alive! Can you imagine when the light went on for Mary? What a moment it must have been. The one whom she saw on Friday died, crucified. He died and they buried him in the tomb. But now he's arisen. Woo! But now listen to me. It's not that Jesus has just arisen from the dead, but I think Mary's love for Jesus came alive at that very moment in a very unrestrained joy and hope as she looked at him. A lot of scholars say nobody loved Jesus as much as Mary Magdalene. And maybe it's because, like Luke 8 says, that Jesus cast out seven demons out of her. Maybe Mary loved him because she's the first man that has ever treated her with dignity and respect. Maybe she loves him so much because Jesus always had time for her. He made her feel valuable without wanting anything. Maybe it was just Jesus gave her hope as he spoke. For whatever reasons, Mary Magdalene loved Jesus as a person, as the Messiah, and as her Savior. Jesus surprised Mary that day. When's the last time when's the last time Jesus surprised you? When's the last time he surprised you with hope, with joy, with a new start? When's the last time you heard him call your name? Oh, no, it may come as a surprise to you, but he knows your name. I wonder if Jesus calling your name on this Easter Sunday. How will you respond as he does? The title of the message is a surprise party, but here's the best part of it, okay? You ready for this? It's a surprise party, and you are the guest of honor. I like it. It's all for you. I'm going to ask some of our ladies to come, and Pastor Mike and Pastor Wayne to come here. The big surprise on Easter Sunday is this. Are you ready? Jesus loves you. He died on the cross to pay for your sin. He was buried and He rose again so you can have a home in heaven. But you know what the exciting thing about it is? You don't have to wait until you die till you get to enjoy heaven. Did you know you can enjoy heaven right here on this earth? Now we understand Jesus died and rose again to pay the debt of our sins. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. We understand that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We understand He became the propitiation of our sin. He paid the price of our sin. And if we'll ask Him, He'll come into our life, into our heart, and He will give us new life. Scripture said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Scripture said, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. But there's another surprise here, okay? See, what is heaven? When we get to heaven, it will be a place where there'll be no more struggle with sin or its consequences. And I'm looking forward to that day. I hate the devil. I hate sin. I hate the way it destroyed people. But we don't have to wait till we die to enjoy that. Listen to me. Ephesians says that once Jesus rose from the dead, He now sits on the throne of heaven, and He's going to sit there forever, and He is in charge of everything. You get that? Paul would wrap it on up later in Romans chapter 6 and says He's the ruler of the universe, and because of His sacrifice for us, sin does not have to have dominion over us. We have been delivered from the penalty of sin, but we have been delivered from the power of sin. In fact, He'll say sin doesn't even speak our language anymore. We don't have to listen to it when it calls to us. And as a result, we ought to praise Him forever and ever and glorify Him. Even we can enjoy heaven right here on earth where we're at. Now this is Easter. And we put on our best. And we put a smile on our face. But I can look across this congregation and tell you people are hurting. People are caving on the inside. People are dying. You feel destroyed, distraught. If you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, we want to show you how you can have a home in heaven. If you don't understand it, we'll explain it to you. Some of the others here this morning, you are struggling. You're struggling with life. You're struggling with sin. And the surprise is you don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to struggle with that sin. Through Jesus Christ, you can have victory over whatever you're dealing with. If I had to sum up the sermon again, I'd say it's a surprise party. And you're the honored guest. Jesus appeared, first of all, to Mary Magdalene, an outcast that we label as a prostitute. But she was the one that wept over the feet of Jesus and anointed them and then wiped them with her hairs of her head. Jesus said, you are important. He said, you go tell my disciples and Peter, you know the one who betrayed me, denied me 3 times? You let him know I love him. Where are you going in your world today? You like Mary Magdalene, it's just falling apart the last few days. I don't know what I'm doing. What in the world's going on? Jesus can make sense of it all. You don't know Him as your Savior? You come, let us show you. You struggling with something in your life? You can have it if you want. Father, we yield this invitation to You. Meet the needs of lives and hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.